This is a Social Storytellers podcast.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 133. Tom, I am looking at you IRL.
This is a special thing for two reasons. One, I'm back in the studio.
You're back in the studio.
It's been a hot minute. Number two, you see before you a very rare Pokemon today, a hungover Tom on a Tuesday.
Well, it was a long weekend. We had Monday as the public holiday, so you enjoyed yourself?
I made filet mignon for me and the girls last night.
Whoa.
And I had three whole ciders with it. Whoa, crazy times.
That is insane. Was it good though?
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I have to do a mean steak in the air fryer, no less.
Ooh, now that's swish.
Yep.
So what?
Filet mignon cooked in 15 minutes.
I was going to say, how long does it take? Right. What accompanied it apart from the cider?
Oh, good baked potato, bit of butter, a little bit of cheese melted on and stuff like that.
Yum.
And the steak that Shay and I shared, bashed to hell with a mallet.
Oh, so you just tenderized it.
Yeah, because I want it cooked through, whereas Lynn's likes it still bleeding, so she likes it blue.
Yep.
Ugh.
Yeah, blue's a bit hardcore.
Oh, look, if you're up for it, go for it. I have no problem with it, but me, myself, not for me.
You're not doing it.
Nah.
Yeah. I always think about, it's usually every second episode of Come Dine With Me, where someone will cook steak to order. So they'll go around the table and say, how would you like your steak?
Yep.
How would you like? And something always goes wrong.
Of course. You can't.
Why? Why do they keep
making it? Unless you have a full kitchen set up, it's very difficult to cook different levels of steak.
You can't do it.
It's hard.
Or get them confused because, you know, you end up giving the person who wanted rare the well-done one and then there is no rare. It's a mess.
Mm.
But it's entertainment for TV, so I'm always happy with that. Oh, speaking of entertainment, the quiz I've got today is ridiculous.
Good. I'm keen for some redonk.
Also, I have a feeling we're both sort of still in the long weekend mode.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a bit of a shorter episode today, partly because I'm tired and a bit broken, but also because it's been a hell of a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
we had plenty going on. We had a huge week last week. Mm. What a great double episode.
Two episodes. I've already had people talking about how much they enjoyed listening to Trent.
I have heard the same.
Yeah.
He's the top guest.
We'll have him
on again for sure.
Hell yeah.
And I'm going to take him up. When we can finally go to Adelaide, I'm going to go down and check out his place.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Maybe do like a little quick video or something.
Yeah.
Because I want to see, because when we were on Zoom with him.
See some cool background.
And I think, see if you think of the same thing. I think it was all Masters of the Universe stuff behind him.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Which is his main jam.
Yeah. So it made sense. And I could tell he was looking behind the camera. So
yeah, when he was talking about different stuff,
other
he was
things,
looking
so
around the room.
Yeah, yeah. So he knows where everything is.
Maybe he'll give us a little video shout out for the page.
Ooh, I'd like that.
Mm.
We must be asking. I've watched some things. I've finished something.
Wow.
I've finished two things, but I've finished something and I've done something I've never done before. So
started it again.
I'm not starting it again. Oh, okay. No, I'm not starting it again. There's too much going on.
And now a word from our sponsor. Head first, all in one go. Do you whirl it around in circles to elongate it before consuming it? How do you eat a snake lolly? There's a lot to unpack here, and in this quick tutorial, we will try to give you as many tips, tricks, and suggestions so that you're right across all the options before opening a packet. Firstly, what colour do you start off with? While some people prefer to pick their least favourite to get them out of the way and save what they consider to be the best, other consumers lunge straight for their top pick and leave the orange ones for last. Orange is widely considered to be the most boring of flavours. Then you get the wild renegades who shove their hands into the packet and simply pick out whatever one they grab first. It's reckless, but not as uncommon as you'd think. Basically, there's only one correct way to eat a lolly snake. tail first, then body, then finally the head. Any other way and you're doing it wrong. Don't at me.
First off though, news. Mm. The first one I want to throw at us is, it's not so much news, it's more like an update of a news story that happened a couple of months ago. So The Last of Us 2 is coming out.
Yes.
But remember there was talk about The Last of Us TV show for, I think it was HBO, and the writer of Chernobyl, the series Chernobyl, was involved. So Neil Druckmann from Naughty Dog and Craig Mazin from Chernobyl's, HBO's Chernobyl, they were going to write it. That's still happening, but there's a director on board. Johan Renck, I think is how you pronounce his name. This guy has won Emmys for directing stuff. He was part of the Chernobyl miniseries.
Sure.
Or limited series, I think you should call it. So he's going to direct the pilot. This guy's done stuff like Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, Bates Motel.
Good pedigree.
They want this to work. And I'm quite happy about that.
It's a shame they weren't ready to start filming 3 months ago when everything kicked off and the streets were empty.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, I really do hope that some directors have been out there getting very interesting, like, second unit background material stuff.
Yeah, what do they call that? B-roll.
A little bit of B-roll.
Yeah, a little bit of B-roll
stuff.
Oh,
boy. If ever you want to talk about B-roll.
Yeah.
Like, jump on YouTube. One of the earliest viral videos is for a guy that's selling B-roll, and it is amazing. He pretends he's like a used car salesman. Hey, you want B-roll? We got that B-roll.
I want to watch this.
It's very early internet stuff. It's great.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. That's my homework.
There you go, homework. Yeah. We got that B-roll.
Yeah, we got that B-roll. All right. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. That all sounds good, but like you said, who knows when it's going to be made.
I saw a cool one about a director thing as well. Extraction director Sam Hargrave.
Mm-hmm.
So Extraction was on Netflix recently, and that was the Chris Hemsworth action movie. For the last 10 years, he's been one of the main stunt coordinator and like fight coordinators for Marvel movies.
Right.
He has joined Mandalorian Season 2 as the second unit director.
Okay.
So that means he films pretty much any action, close-up shot, or anything that isn't focusing on a star.
Right.
So second unit, you know, if there's – when you see a shot in a film of someone's fingers tapping away on an ATM and it doesn't show their face, there's a pretty good chance that's not the actor. That's the second unit. Because you don't need the big actor that you're paying a lot of money for non-facial shots.
Mm.
So the second unit does that. But those people are also in charge of, if you've got a car chase scene, every other shot that's not the shot of the hero person driving is handled normally by the second unit, while the first unit is off handling narrative, script, that sort of stuff. So how cool is that? They've got this guy who's got a real solid pedigree with action stuff, and he's just directed his own movie.
Mm.
He's now going to be directing the second unit off to the side, pumping up the action.
Now I want another docu-series about Mandalorian Season 2, because you remember one, like the directors were really sort of collaborative. A lot of them were on all of the sets.
Well, I believe that the purpose is to have him across all the episodes.
That makes sense.
So he's a further cohesion across everything. I think that's awesome call. And that's very rare to get that, to get someone who has some pedigree to step in as your second unit director is a big deal in itself.
Mm.
But to get someone who will likely do the whole series, it's going to unify it in such a different way.
I'm
really down
with that. That's really nice news.
Yeah.
That's good news. Yeah. That's really good news. I found one that I'm going to call it shocking in that it's not shocking.
Sure.
So you know how there's going to be a new Looney Tunes sort of reboot for HBO Max.
Yes, I did see this.
Not doing guns. So people like, well, I should say characters like Elmer Fudd, Yosemite Sam will have other props. They said that Elmer Fudd's going to have the scythe, you know, the kind of like what Death
carries. Yeah.
Death carries. So there's still going to be cartoony violence. That's what the executive producers are saying, but just without guns. And they were also talking about storylines being a little bit different, where, in fact, one of the executive producers said, we're going through this wave of anti-bullying where everybody needs to be friends. He's talking about within the world, modern world at the moment. But he says it's kind of complicated with these characters because they're horrible characters.
Of course, Daffy Duck is a very problematic character in that sort of setting.
He's really
Foghorn
annoying.
Leghorn, who is just a pastiche of white racist
characters.
Caricatures. Yeah, there's a whole
lot of stuff.
Slew of stuff. You can look. There's a reason why Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote never stopped. Silent. They don't make anything like that. So they've still been continuing as cartoons. But yeah, there's a lot of them that are pretty problematic.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm down with more Looney Tunes. I'm always down with more Looney Tunes.
And I'm also fine with the fact that we will get a new version of it where it reflects society today.
Oh, yeah.
Because that reflected society back then. Now we get this.
Look, if you're hankering for some great Hanna-Barbera and Looney Tunes action, over the last few years, DC Comics, obviously owned by Warner Brothers, has had they've gotten the usage rights for some of those characters.
Yep.
And they've set them in Batman's world and stuff like that. So there was an Elmer Fudd issue where Elmer Fudd is a bartender in a bar that a lot of the criminals from Gotham frequent.
Right.
So that's how he crosses paths with Batman because a bar fight kicks off and Batman steps in to quell it.
Amazing.
There's this sort of stuff. Snagglepuss is a gay Southern Gothic gentleman who's still in the closet, and the entire storyline is about him choosing to come out in the era of McCarthyism you know, chasing down communists and this sort of stuff and the things that he gets accused for. It's really, really grown up. They did Flintstones. It's still back in that time, but they're dealing with modern problems about climate change and environmentalism and what they've done to the earth and this sort of stuff. So I imagine I'm a lot more open than a lot of people reading that news because I've seen some very interesting ways that those characters have been used. You know, like I think the most impressive one was, and this isn't Looney Tunes, but what's his name? Dick Dastardly and Muttley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was Dick Dastardly was like an RAF pilot in World War One, I think it was meant to be. And at some point he flies through a cloud of weaponized LSD that causes him to, and anyone exposed to this thing that starts getting misted around the world to start them becoming more cartoony. So this very stiff upper proper, like he's modeled on Alfred from Batman,
right,
sort of thing,
yeah.
Slowly starts hunching more and the moustache starts coming out and his friend starts devolving into a dog.
Yep. Wait, did you say that was a cartoon or a comic?
That's a comic book, and it's one of the weirdest things I've read in years. It was so good.
It's obviously stuck with you.
Oh, it stuck with me in a major way. And, like, this mist changes. The president becomes, like, the droopy dog from
– oh, yes.
All these people start changing into caricatures and then becoming these characters and stuff like that. So I can see them doing a very cool adult twist without needing to resort to realistic violence. I think we'll still see mallets and scythes. And,
agree.
You know,
because, I mean, I kind of – the way I'm approaching it is if it's not in there, we won't miss it because they will come up with other creative ways to have those jokes still
I mean, they got away with Tiny Toons. I don't know if you remember them, but that was teenage and or younger versions of all the Looney Tunes. And there was much less violence on that. And I think if they just stick to, like, anvils – and, you know, what we consider a cartoon equivalent of violence, then it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Elmer Fudd doesn't lose anything by not carrying a shotgun.
No. In fact, I even
Yosemite Sam, maybe, because shooting the guns off is his whole deal. But again, he is just a racist caricature of Southern men.
But what if he just used finger guns? Like, that would make it even more ridiculous.
It would.
Yeah, and make the sound that you did.
Cork guns, like cork on a string.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something like that.
Maybe he can go to anger therapy. Chill him out a bit.
Great.
One that I thought was a little bit funny, Space Force has been on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
People either love it or hate it.
Mm-hmm.
There does not appear to be any middle ground. There appears to be one other group that is going to hate them, and that's the actual Space Force that was formed by Donald Trump a few years ago.
Okay, I didn't know that that was a real thing.
Oh, yes, that's where the name was based on.
So, I just thought they were making it up.
No, Space Force is the thing, so we're ready for the Star Wars.
Right.
This was Trump's directive of we need a Space Force. Yeah, someone forgot to put the paperwork in on a trademark, so Netflix owns the trademark. Yeah, and the government has no legal standing. They have to back down.
Oh, that's too good.
Isn't that good?
Oh,
isn't that good? Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious. Can you imagine the tweets that will come? Well, they may have already gone out by Donald Trump when he or if he finds out about that?
Disgraceful. Netflix. Was here first. Come on, guys. It'll just be anger.
Tremendous. Not fair.
Sad. Space Force. More like Space Farce.
That's good.
With Better Moves and David Brent, you're listening to We Are The Watchers.
This is from, I heard about this and then I decided to read up a bit more about it. This is from Kotaku. So you know how PlayStation here is run by Sony Europe? So yes. If you go and go onto your page on their website, like your member page, you have to type in EU at the end. So Sony Europe has been fined $3.5 million, that's 2.4 American dollars if you're playing in America, after it was found to have presented false and misleading representations to Aussie consumers who were trying to get refunds on digital purchases
of games.
So the ACCC, or the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission.
Is this like what happened with Steam a few years ago?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
All right, I've got it.
It's pretty much exactly that. Yeah. So they went to court last year. So the ACCC took Sony to court last year and the finding, what do they call it? Yeah, the findings came back last week, or the court, whoever decided that they were, Sony, I should say, were found guilty of misleading four customers who were told by a customer service representative that Sony was not required to refund games once they had been downloaded or if 14 days had passed since its purchase. I can understand how this would happen. If Sony doesn't have an Australian branch, it would be quite difficult for the European Sony, what are they called, like subsidiary or something?
Yeah.
To know this. But at the same time, if they're...
That's their job.
It's their job. If they're operating within Australia using Australian...
Yeah. I looked after accounts for global teams and you had to be across what different markets.
Yeah, right.
What their expectations and rules were and stuff. So that's no excuse on Sony's part.
Yeah, okay.
Like... They would have a handbook on how to deal with Australian consumers.
It sounded a bit like Sony were also trying to tell customers that individual game developers needed to authorise the refunds, not Sony themselves, which was incorrect.
Naughty, naughty. All right, I've got two news stories.
Okay.
One of them is pretty cool and one of them is not so great. I'll go with the not so great one first.
So we finish on a high.
That's right. Yeah. So plenty of changes we've seen on CW lately. We've talked about Ruby Rose leaving.
Yep.
We've talked about Skeet Ulrich choosing to leave Riverdale. This morning, Hartley Sawyer has been fired from The Flash.
I heard about this, but I'm not up on the show. I wasn't quite sure.
Sure. So he plays the elongated man who, for the first two seasons of his presence, was merely the comedic relief.
Right.
And then since that, like mainly the last season, they've really matured his character up a lot and he has a love interest and this sort of stuff. Anyway, he has been fired for past racist tweets and you know, sexually provocative tweets and this sort of stuff. So almost exactly what happened with James Gunn. And a lot of people are pretty fired up about it. I don't feel the same, you know. Look, anything you write online, remember you've written in pen. There is no pencil. Things can't get erased and this sort of stuff. But at the same time, people make jokes and people say off-color stuff and you can't. Like,
yeah, it's difficult.
I have a feeling that it may be something that is it might just be because we're Aussie. I think that's going to play into a little bit more, or we're more – I won't say allowing, but we're more accustomed to that sort of larrikinism and trying to push the envelope and this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Americans have not responded to it as well. And like, yeah, it's all unfolding as we're recording. But
there's probably a lot playing into it. Like, I don't know anything other than the fact that it happened. So I don't know how old these tweets are, which is another thing.
2014.
Okay.
Old enough to know better.
Yeah, I think so. Also, with what's been happening the past couple of weeks in America.
Yes, that's where this all stems from.
That's not a good tweet to have been uncovered, or tweets or whatever. Like that, yeah. Look, for me, when we were like, when, because I went, because I went to the Australian Film Television and Radio School to learn, you know, more about radio and how to how to do it, what to do, all that sort of stuff. When we were being taught like broadcast law and what you could and couldn't say, what I picked up on mainly was, if in doubt, just don't say it. There's so many other things you can say that will not get you into trouble. Not just on podcasts or radio or whatever, but like just in general. Even back in the day when I was on message forums, where no one knew who you were, they only know your username. I never said anything because I thought that's there. People can drag that back up again, and hold it against you. I was more worried about the context.
Mm-hmm.
If I was trying to joke and it was a bit risque, but I thought, oh, it could be taken the wrong way. Just don't say it. Say something else. But I know I'm not everyone.
Yep. Oh, look, I have to self-censor myself constantly. That's how I live. You've heard me make some very blue jokes, but never on mic.
Oh, no. That's not how we do things.
No. And look, I think where this guy might be tripping up, this guy always plays comedic roles. I don't think he's a stand-up comedian.
Right.
And that is a difference between things, because a stand-up comedian puts stuff like that online and someone says, what the hell, you can't say that. And he can say, I was working on material.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is for my job. This is what I do. I work through stuff. That's not what I...
Where this was just for a tweet.
Yeah. Mm. And like, they're not great. They're rough, but like, it's pretty drastic getting fired for something that went out in 2014.
But I'm trying to think back to...
No one's seen it till now.
Yeah, fair enough. But I'm trying to think back to when Kevin Hart was dropped as
the Oscars host.
Oscars host. And his tweet was, I want to say, way older than that. I don't even remember what the tweet was or the context, but I just remember that it cost him that gig and it was from ages ago. So, yeah, you just have to be careful.
Watch out. Have you got any news?
I've got no more news, but I know you've got one, which is a nicer one.
Yeah, this is just a very short one. So there's been some Doctor Who mini episodes coming out lately, isolation-based and this sort of stuff. A lot of them are just audio-based. One dropped this week is written by Stephen Moffat, who was head of Doctor Who for many years and some of the best Who of recent eras and stuff. He says it's the last ever thing he's ever scripting for them, which he said about five times before, but he promises this is the last one. Anyway, this audio drama is it's very short little mini episode, but it's Bill and Nardole. Now, Bill was the most recent companion for – well, sorry, it was the final companion for Doctor 13? No, 12.
So,
oh, it's so hard to keep track.
So 13 –
Peter Capaldi.
Yeah, 12.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure he's 12.
And I don't want to spoil things, but her character met a – particularly horrible end, one of the most distressing ends a companion has met.
Mm-hmm.
But then through some timey-wimey usualness, there's a happier ending for her that isn't necessarily as canon as what appeared on screen.
Okay.
Likewise, the other companion at the time was Nardole, which was Matt Lucas from Little Britain, and he was an alien that had helped him out. Anyway, he had been left behind basically on a ship that is circling a collapsing black hole dwarf star, and he's stuck on there with a bunch of Cybermen that are trying to kill him.
That doesn't sound like a good situation.
It's an awful situation and is one of the most heroic sacrifices ever for a bumbling character, but this guy decided to stay behind so the world doesn't die, the universe doesn't rip itself apart, all this sort of stuff. Anyway, this audio drama is the two of them, who have had nothing to do with the Doctor for like 3 or 4 years now in real time, just catching up over Zoom about what their lives are like. And they both vow very early on to not talk about bad. And it's a beautiful exercise in hearing two characters excited to talk to each other again, but really struggling to talk truthfully about how awful things are at the moment and just trying to put positive spins on everything. It's really nicely done.
So how did you listen to it? Was it just
online,
as a podcast?
Yeah.
Cool.
Bill has an update on her romantic life and how that's been going.
Right.
And Nardole lets us know how it is on that ship.
Okay.
But yeah, I really enjoyed it because Bill's character, I'll say it, got fucked over. And it's still a sore point for me of just how badly she got fucked over by that show. And Nardole was amazing, and I miss having a comedic foil companion. I've really tried with most recent Doctor, and
not working.
It's the writing.
Okay.
She's great.
Yeah.
Jodie Whittaker is great, but the writing is so clunky.
Damn.
So I haven't stuck with it as much. So it was really nice to get two characters that I really enjoyed from Capaldi, who is my favorite most recent Doctor. And
Shall we get into some watching suggestions?
Yes, we shall.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
So I watched a few things. You spoke about Space Force, and I watched some of that. I think I've watched about maybe 3.5 to 4 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine, but I have found myself on my phone a bit.
I watched the first episode and I enjoyed it, but it was the same thing if it wasn't holding me in the same way. I told you I watched Upload, and I thought it would be a similar thing to Upload, but it's a different vibe.
Yeah, very different. I don't know why, but the voice that Steve, I can't remember the character's name, but I just didn't, it just sounds forced to, it sounds too forced, which is not, you know, it's not the end of the world. I mean, I would still watch the show, but it's just not quite enough to hold me. It was fine.
It doesn't feel like there's enough warmth.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to give it a few more episodes as well before I make a final call. But like,
yeah, there might be something clicking later on, or yeah.
I'm just disappointed because it's got Ben Schwartz and you know,
John Malkovich is in it.
There's so many good people that I really enjoy, and.
I did enjoy I think it was in the first episode, because I watched a couple in one batch, where they were talking about they only get directions and stuff from the president via tweets. I thought that was quite clever.
Bit on the nose.
That was the funniest thing. What else have you been watching?
So I know I mentioned it a few weeks ago, but I finally sat, like I waited until I could give it 200% of my attention, and I'm so glad I did, because I finally sat down and watched I've written down the title name wrong, but it's Joe Pera Talks With You Over Relaxing Footage.
You were really excited.
I was really amped for it. Yeah. And so the show is normally 11-minute episodes. Season two has had two episodes back-to-back each week when it aired earlier this. And this episode starts with – okay, so we only see him on screen of a 22-minute episode, I think maybe 40 seconds worth.
Mm.
Very, very little of Joe's actual presence, but him talking over the top, and he says, look, Adult Swim came to me. I can't even – Adult Swim came to me and asked me to put together a special for these trying times. And he just basically explains. He's like, we got all this fantastic footage shooting season 1 and 2 that we didn't end up utilizing. A lot of it is very slow, beautiful shots of nature. And sitting on it at a time like this isn't fair and it isn't right.
Hmm.
I want to put together a special, and if I can finish this project knowing that I helped a nurse get to sleep easy at the end of the day, then I'll have done it.
Mm.
And his whole that's his thing. He knows he has the power of calm. Mm. That's his whole jam. And it starts off so earnestly and so above board. And it's him, he just gets real too excited about what he's looking at and goes on some really random thought patterns.
Amazing.
So he speaks for a couple of minutes about how he's trying to pitch a new TV network called Tree TV. And it's just footage of trees.
I would imagine some sort of like a Swedish television network grabbing a hold of that. Who's behind the slow TV?
I know. Like, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
And, if you've got to get advertising dollars, maybe once every few hours, they cut to an NBA game for a few minutes or something. Anyway, he makes all these jokes that are seemingly throwaway and they end up coming back in again later. In promotional material. So this week, Adult Swim's been doing a Joe Pera marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of running ads in between, they've just shown footage of trees. So they've suggested that they're becoming tree TV. Good. Anyway, he gets distracted and later says maybe it should be waterfall TV, and they move into great waterfall stuff.
That's always calming as well.
But he just gets so distracted, and he ends up going on this massive like 4-minute rant on why Elizabeth Hurley should be considered one of the greatest actresses of all time because she successfully wrangled Austin Powers. So he does all this, and then there's this fantastic footage of fish in the aquarium and him watching it. And it's quiet, and he finished, like, he says something really poignant, and there's about 40 seconds of silence. And then he comes back and he's like, look, honestly, that was meant to be the end. They've asked us to fill another 4 minutes of time. So I'm out of footage, but my friend Owen has some great footage of the time he fed monkeys in Japan. So, and then it just goes to like just some handheld camcorder amazing footage
of amazing
feeding a monkey through a fence.
So how long is this?
22 minutes. Honestly, like, I've watched it twice.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it up there with Bash Brothers from last year for me. One of those things just hits. I'm like, oh, this is right. It's the most calming thing. By the end of it, I did feel better. Like,
oh,
it somehow leeches anxiety off you and stuff. There's like a 45 second sequence of staring out a car window looking at power lines and him describing. I was like, I don't know why, but everyone I talk to says that there's something about looking at power lines when they're in the car that's weirdly relaxing. You keep track of it. You might count a little bit, but that rhythmic nature. And he's like, so let's just check this out. You know what else I find relaxing? Watching a dude paint the lines for the baseball diamond. No one's using it for the moment. No one's playing baseball.
Yeah.
I keep saying churches should hold outdoor church in there at the moment. But either way, let's all get relaxed watching him paint these lines. Straight. Smooth. Focused. Patient. It's so good.
So is it the kind of thing now where you enjoyed it so much that you want to watch more of it, but you also don't want to overwatch it?
That's right. Mm. And this does not need to be an ongoing thing. I think like the writing on it was top notch and mm-hmm. clearly had all his writers get involved in this sort of stuff. It just works because it's so opposite of what TV's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Just the editing choices, the slow takes, the music. Everything about this was just, it's lavender in a TV form.
That's a beautiful analogy.
You know, like, oh, it's so relaxing. So yeah, it's something that I could very easily wear out its welcome very quickly, but I'm going to keep it and enjoy it every now and then when I'm stressed and
when
need to
you
unwind.
Need it. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think he talks the last 2 minutes. I think it just shows really chilled footage. And then he comes back in at the end and he goes, well, we're all done. Hope you enjoyed. Sleep well. Night-night. And then that's the end. Not him just talking over the footage. I think it might just be leaves blowing in a wood.
Amazing.
That was so good.
It's kind of like the human version of those YouTube videos for cats that are like 8 hours long where it's just birds just eating seeds.
Yep.
And they just sit there and watch it like, such a good show.
Yep.
So relaxing.
That's what this was. It was just great. It didn't check in with any other characters. It didn't advance any plot or story.
Yeah, there was no story. Yeah.
It's just, hey, I'm here. I'm going to have a chat. Hopefully some of this stuff calms you down.
I'm going to keep that in the back pocket of my mind for when I need something like that.
It's up in its entirety for free on YouTube.
Amazing. Okay, fantastic. Oh, that's great.
Don't be jealous. They've been chatting online with babes all day. You're listening to We Are The Watchers. I've also been chatting with babes all day. Yep, online.
I finished watching Narcos Mexico season 2.
Oh, you did finish that off?
It's all finished now for me. And I think I said, you know, when I first mentioned that I was watching it, that I really only knew Chapo and that he was bang up for some tunnels. I didn't know that there was a whole other story. There was a whole other character of Felix there and that he was like the drug lord. Distributor for years. It's a wild ride and it finished where you're kind of like, oh, and then it continues to get worse. That's kind of like, instead of a to be continued, it was like, and then it continued to get worse. And you're like,
wow, okay.
Okay, right. Fantastic. They may or may not do more series. I don't know. Because, you know, with the first season, the first version of Narcos had 2 seasons.
Yes.
With Pablo Escobar. And of course, that ended when there was no more Pablo Escobar, where there's still a continuation. In fact, in some form or another, it's still going now. So I don't know. I think it's probably nice to finish it there, but they also would have plenty more stories to go.
Can I pitch you a potential sequel idea?
Yes.
Okay. El Chapo and Chappie. Do you remember Chappie?
Who's that, Chappie?
The South African robot
Chappie!
Droid. Hey, it's Chippy. He was in the movie with D'Antwoord and Hugh Jackman as the racist caricature.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It was District 9, but with robot.
Yeah. Oh, District 9.
I really enjoyed Chappie. A lot of people hate that movie, and I'm okay with them hating it. But I like the idea of let's pair a South African robot up with El Chapo, and they, like, Chappie could be.
And Chappie's like, I can't get into that tunnel.
Maybe he could be in charge of tunnels.
Ooh, power through.
Yeah, Chappie, dig it. Oh, man, now I want to watch Chappie again.
It's never too late.
Yeah, but then I get into it and I'm like, oh, this movie's not great. I enjoy it.
When was the last time you watched it?
Late last year.
Yeah, that is a bit close.
It is too close.
For
it's
that
not,
kind of film.
For that, yeah. I enjoy it because there are so many bold choices that the director made that no one else would have made, namely casting D'Antwoord.
I just remember the trailer going, oh, this seems like a strange movie to exist with Hugh Jackman in it.
Yeah.
But okay.
So weird.
It was strange.
Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to derail
El
Chapo chat.
Pretty much all I needed to say. I finished it. It was good. I think I would suggest to watch both versions of Narcos. I think they were both really good.
Okay.
But you just have to be aware going into it. Although, I mean, the fact that it's called Narcos is a pretty good indication. It's pretty violent.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. It's a violent show.
Okay.
What else have you been watching?
I want to spitfire a few quick ones off for you. So the DC's Legends of Tomorrow finale happened.
Mm-hmm.
The episode was called, and this is an amazing title, Swan Thong. Swan Thong.
Swan Thong.
So to catch up, a whole lot of storyline that's happened. They've been trapped in TV shows for a while because one of their teammates turned out to be one of the elder gods of the universe, one of the fates, and wove them into TV shows in order to stop them being rewritten written out of reality.
There were two of them who were in a Star Trek sort of.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that was last week. They've managed to get out, but they're stuck in this alternate timeline where everyone submits and watches television all day of them and this sort of stuff. Now, because they've broken out and they're on the run and stuff like that, they have been deemed public enemy number one.
Mm-hmm.
And likenesses of them have been installed in a wax museum they have there in this bad place. So it's kind of a piss take on the good place of the worst people in history and just the museum of bad ideas.
Right.
Type thing. And one of the team members, his name is Nate. He's Captain Steel. He turns into Steel. He's a bro. Like total bro, went through the college system, loves to party, loves to drink, all this sort of stuff. When they're running through the Museum of Bad Ideas and Evil, you know, they go, oh, there's Genghis Khan. There's Stalin, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
There's Cisco.
With the hair color
so
still?
As an animatronic, like a wax statue of Cisco with some dancers behind him. Looking like Swan's
thong song.
Anyway, the other evil characters from history are animated and brought to life.
Yeah.
And a fight sequence breaks out of our heroes versus the villains. And, of course, the bro's like, no, man, fuck this, and, like, runs over and hits the button to start the Cisco animatronic. And it's actual Cisco.
Oh, no.
And they've got
I don't think I would recognize him without the silver hair.
He had the he looked like he did in the video. He Amazing. Still had the jacket and everything. He brought it to the shoot for them. And they proceed to have a two-minute, fight to Swan Song.
I cannot even picture this. This is brilliant.
At one point, I don't know if you recall, but in the video, Cisco lifts one foot up, turns to the side, shakes, and stamps it down like an earthquake. And so the steel guy does the same
thing,
himself steel as he stamps it down, and it throws people off the feet, all
that
this sort of stuff.
That is too good.
And he's loving it, and every other person is hating it. Anyway, someone ends up smashing the Cisco stuff.
Oh, poor Cisco.
It was such a bizarre non sequitur. And I don't know anyone else. Like, maybe they could have gotten the Baha Men.
They could have gotten Genuine.
Oh, Pony's a jam. Mm. And Genuine is already on Parks and Recreation. He is Donna's cousin.
Ah, that's right. There was a picture of him.
Yes, and they get him to appear at the very end of season.
And didn't know who he was. Jinyuan was,
and Tom wanted to break up.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Legends finale was great. They are done with dealing with hell escapees for the next season because the last 5 seconds of the show, they were all drunk walking out of a bar. The captain at the back of the pack hears a noise, turns around, and suddenly gets beamed up by a blue alien light. She's like, guys, and they're all drunk walking away. They don't know she's gone.
They've got no idea. Nope. Okay, fantastic. That's a good cliffhanger.
So that was solid. Queer Eye is back, season 5. Watched plenty of that. Good times. I think they're based in, I want to say, Philadelphia now.
Okay.
They moved somewhere else. They've got a new dog. That's cool. Finally got around to watching Rob Riggle, Global Investigator. Rob Riggle, you'd have seen in many comedic things before.
Well done saying that.
I know, it's a mouthful.
Yeah.
So he has worked for Discovery for the last 2 years hosting Shark Week for them.
Oh, yeah.
Hosting various bits and stuff.
Yeah.
And this looks to be a spin-off like that. And it's – I watched the first episode, and I think that'll do me for now.
Okay.
It's him being like a bumbling Indiana Jones.
Amazing.
So I think inept – unskilled Bear Grylls. His first episode is him hunting for the lost city of Atlantis.
I want to watch this already.
There's 6 episodes. It's him investigating historical conundrums.
Right.
In a comedic sense. He's full of, he's very, braggadocious.
Braggadocious?
He's dripping with bravado.
Is it all like, voiceover?
Or? No, so it's him out there wearing dumb hats.
Oh, wow, okay.
Talking with people, putting himself in really hardcore situations.
Yeah,
like
right.
This is what I mean. Like, it feels like a Bear Grylls show, but he's constantly undermining the situation.
So he's a more obvious Louis Theroux, where Louis Theroux, he doesn't do it as much anymore, but do you remember when he would do a lot of series in America?
Yes.
And he would make himself look stupid so that they would think they're better than him and he somehow then would get them to open up more?
It's a bit of that, but it's more...
Are the guests more aware of the fact that he's a character?
I believe so, okay. But he also plays himself very self-important and
okay.
already knowing this stuff.
Right, right.
So he's not there to be educated by anyone, even though he's constantly wrong.
Yeah, okay.
So it's more that sort
okay,
of...
Okay, I see what you
he's
mean.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, okay. But what's it called again?
Rob Riggle, Global Investigator.
I want to watch that.
It was really good fun. As I say, I only watched the one.
Yeah.
I've got another 5 episodes. Awesome. I haven't deleted them. It's not a sit and watch 6 episodes at once type thing.
That sounds great.
Mm.
Anything else rapid fire?
I don't know if I've mentioned, but Diners, Drive-Ins and Dives is back for season 35 at the moment.
I don't think you did.
Guy Fieri is now filming it from home.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of him traveling around to restaurants, he's now getting great chefs to send him the ingredients and having a Zoom party with 3 to 4 different chefs.
It's a good idea.
And he makes their meals with his sons.
Yep.
And they taste them and they decide who's the winner.
That's a good idea. That's a great way of continuing to be able to do a TV show.
It's so low-key and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, that sounds great. I finished, as in for the first time ever, have platinumed a game.
Oh.
I got the platinum trophy for Days Gone. I finished that game ages ago.
I remember.
And then I went, I finished that game. I wonder how many trophies I need in order to get platinum. It can't be that many. And there were quite a few really because I had to finish getting like I had to find all the tourism markers. I had to find character notes and stuff.
Sure.
Some I would just stumble upon. Others I'm like, I cannot figure out where this would be. So I would just go online and look for it and then find my way there. But I also had to do all this because he rides a bike or you ride a bike. So I had to do all these tricks, a couple of tricks, not too many, but there was this one that I just couldn't get. Because you have a nitro where you press X and you go faster for a very short amount of time.
Exactly.
And I couldn't get, I had to do like donuts, but whilst using the nitro for 5 seconds.
That's like physically impossible.
It was really difficult, especially I'd go, I'll give it a burl here. And I'd do it for a while. And, of course, the noise would attract all of them.
Yeah.
So you'd be like, oh, gosh, now I've got all – I have to get off and – or I would just, I don't know, drive away
GTFO.
Really quickly.
GTFO.
Yeah, exactly. And then I realized when I looked online to see how the hell are people doing this, I had not upgraded my nitro. So I didn't have 5 seconds worth. And once I got that, I did it, and then the platinum came up, and I was like, oh, I got a platinum. I was so excited, and I actually held off the final horde. So you got to clear hordes. Like, I'm talking 50 to 100 zombies all coming at you,
yeah.
World War Z movie style,
sure.
Like really fast. And I put them off, so I got the platinum, and then I went, oh, I've still got to do the horde. So I did the horde, and then I got this horde. It wasn't a trophy. It was like, oh, congratulations. Now you can put this decal on your bike. And I went, well, I'm never going to do that because I finished the game now. So I thought, damn, I should have done the horde before.
Sure.
But, yeah, totally finished the game. But I've got another one, and I'm excited. And you said Indiana Jones. I'm excited because I've got Uncharted, The Lost Legacy, which is a few years old now. And it was after Uncharted 4, but it focused on two of the
Ladies.
Yeah, the ladies. So I'm really excited. It's supposed to be quite fun.
Nice.
It wasn't that much. I think it was like $25 or something like that on the PlayStation store. So it should be downloaded. So I'm going to get into it this week and let you know how it goes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Any other watching or reading or playing suggestions?
Look, one last one. Impractical Jokers.
Yes.
Are in an unusual position with a lot of TV shows are shut down and they're working out ways they can come back. I don't see how those guys can do what they do anytime soon. Basically bothering strangers on the street getting into personal space.
Yeah.
They're out of luck with that. But they're meant to have a new season at the moment. So what have they done? They've got a new show called Impractical Jokers Dinner Party. And it's the four guys having a Zoom party.
Yeah.
That's it.
Is it just them chatting? Are they still pranking each other?
No, they're just sitting around eating.
That'll be fun.
So this last episode was tacos. And Joe happens to know Guy Fieri in real life.
Of course.
So got Guy to come on and give the other guys shit for getting tacos delivered. They're like, come on, tacos
just
is
make
easy to make. But, and I was talking with Linz about this, of why I thought this format worked so well for them. Now, the Impractical Jokers movie came out earlier this year, and I found the first 10 minutes of it really painful because they're acting. And then when I saw this, it really finally clicked into me of why this is we're so used to watching these guys be 100% themselves.
Off
like,
the cuff.
Sure, being silly and heightened and whatever, but we don't see them act.
There's no script.
No. Nearly everyone else we ever see on television is reading lines written by someone else and they're performing them. Whereas when we see these guys perform, it rings so false. Mm. And like you can still enjoy the comedy, but it's jarring.
Mm.
Whereas watching these four guys just chat, it's exactly like you and I are now. It does feel like a visual podcast that we're watching. But it does really work with them. And so it's a half-hour episode each week and, you know, sometimes one of their dads will chime in for a minute or this sort of stuff. But
so what are they talking about? Are they talking about sort of – are they discussing old pranks that they really loved or that, you know, their top however many pranks? Are they?
No, they're not really talking about pranks or what they do with the show or anything.
Okay.
They're just talking shit.
Fun.
About anything and everything.
It's being friends.
Yeah, they talk about the time that Murr nearly punched Sal, the one time that there's almost been a fight in the group and they're very open about how it came to be and this sort of stuff. But it's never just like how good we are at pranking or this sort of wish we could be doing this. It's just, hey guys, we're stuck at home too.
Yep.
Let's have a meal, break bread. And you know, they say at the end of the episode, they're like, next week's episode will be 8 o'clock, same night as usual. Mm. We're going to be making spaghetti. Mm. We'd love it if you guys made spaghetti and joined us for spaghetti.
Yeah, fun.
Let's all have a big family dinner.
That's really fun.
That's all it is. And it's really good natured and it's the sort of thing, you know, same way Joe Pera found a way to use his comedic talents to make something for the time.
Mm.
That's what these guys are doing.
Mm.
And I'm really respecting the fact that instead of wallowing of the fact that, you know, they are at their absolute zenith of popularity right now, thanks to the movie, the TV show, the constant marathons and all this sort of stuff. Mm. They've got the Misery Index going on True TV. You know,
that's
there
right.
are multiple
yep.
shows to keep that momentum going. Great work, guys.
Yeah. They
Real solid.
Something and that's it.
Yep.
Great. Fantastic.
Yep.
Do you feel like doing a ridiculous quiz?
Oh, only if I'm allowed to sit on the front third of my seat, because I believe that's all I'll need.
I believe so too. It's called Water Movies. So you have to try and figure out the film based on my memory of what happened. So I've not looked up any synopsis. I've just thought of movies where I remember there was water and this is...
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So some of these movies I haven't seen...
Unverified.
...for like 20 years.
All right.
So this is it. Some of them are longer than others. I got a bit carried away with number six.
This is perfect timing because my Nurofen... has properly kicked in now okay. and the hangover, I can feel it dripping away as I'm excited and clammy to do a quiz.
Ooh, I love a good clammy quiz. Husband likes food cans to be presented like labels facing out in a kitchen cupboard, or else he gets really super angry. Wife, Julia Roberts, has had enough of his violent ways, so fakes her own death on their yacht and then pretends to be someone else for the rest of the film.
Oh, man.
He finds her too. It's from the early 90s.
Yeah.
I've not seen it since.
So, like, I'm thinking of the one with Nicole Kidman. No, I don't know what that's called.
Pretty sure it's called Sleeping with the Enemy.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
The bit where she jumps off the yacht. I can't remember how she escapes, but she jumps off the yacht and pretends that she's, like, drowned, right?
Okay.
And he's hanging over the yacht, making this ridiculous, like, Laura sound. And that's the main bit, and the cans are the two main bits that I remember.
It's weird that you remember certain, like, films. I can, like, there's a movie with Nicole Kidman and George Clooney called The Negotiator.
Yeah.
And all I remember from is Nicole Kidman in a bad American accent going, "Take the shot." So I yeah, know what you're talking about exactly.
Yeah. There's
a momentary remembering of one particular. Yep, okay,
exactly.
Cool.
May not know the storyline.
Sleeping with the Enemy.
Mm.
I'm very open that Julia Roberts is an absolute black hole. Like that's my blind spot.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't know why. I've seen plenty of stuff with her. But
she's been in a lot though.
She's been in an awful lot. And when she's awesome, when she smashes it, I remember it really well. And then there's a lot of stuff that has blended.
This is Julia Roberts has got a perm day.
Okay.
Back then. So it's really, it's after Pretty Woman, but I don't think it's far off.
Sure.
Yeah. What about this one? Lives on a boat, like pretty much everyone else, has to filter his own urine so he can drink water, also has weird gills behind his ears, basically Mad Max on water.
That's Kevin Costner in Waterworld.
Yeah.
Which is a fantastic stage show.
Is it a stage show?
At Universal Studios.
Oh, right.
The finale for it, a huge biplane flies in from over the top of the stadium and crashes into the water in the middle of everybody.
Is that part of the movie? I don't remember.
No. Mm. It is so much better than the movie.
Fair enough.
One of those
Couldn't
weird
be that,
things.
That difficult, really. No. I mean, the bit that I remember from the movie is that he had a water filtration system where he filled his own way. So. Oh, easy one. Kid goes wandering and his father loses him, has to try and find him as he heads to Sydney.
That's Finding Nemo. I can't believe I've forgotten the name of the address.
It's Sherman, like Wallaby Way or something.
42 Wallaby Way.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
It's the address that people not from Australia remember and then they say it to and you're like, I don't even know where that is.
Apparently,
that's not a real thing.
Apparently, Australia Post at one point just set it up as a place.
Really? That's hilarious. All right. How about this one? A human and a tiger share a lifeboat.
Life of Pi.
Yeah. That's it was a lifeboat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think so.
Or just
a dinghy sort of thing. But yeah. I was going to write dinghy and then I went, I don't think that's quite right.
I think it's one of the boats that, when you imagine a pirate ship parking near the beach and then everyone jumps into the little boat with some oars, that's what he's
That's
in.
What that boat is, yeah.
Because there was a zebra in the boat too at first.
Okay. I don't remember that bit.
The tiger did not
yep.
do well.
No.
Too many stripes.
Cruise ship must have got hit by a big wave or something and gets flipped upside down. Survivors have to make it out alive.
Well, that could be, it could be Titanic, but it's not Titanic. So is it Poseidon? You
Poseidon
could take the
Adventure.
Original or the remake. I won't take the remake, thank you.
No,
keep
I,
Emma Roberts out of my
I was going to go the original. Wasn't Fergie in the remake as well?
I believe
she
so.
Had something to do with it?
Yeah, there were a lot of people. Mm. Yeah, because wasn't Josh Duhamel
Oh,
one of the
did
main
he have something to do with
it?
Oh,
maybe.
So maybe she sang a song about it. We're upside down in a boat. Don't know about the moat. Can't think of another rhyming word.
It's you to the N, to the D, to the E, to the R, W, A, T, E, R.
Good.
Thank you. She loves a bit of a spell. Not as much as Stefani.
Oh, she loves it.
Bloody bananas. Need to give her an award.
Yeah.
That educational outreach program she put up, making sure people can spell B-A-N-A-N-A-N-A-S.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I wondered if perhaps people got like, confused when to stop saying the A-N-A-N-A-N-A-N-A and then go for the S. All right, final one. She's a mermaid and she comes out of the water to see Tom Hanks. I don't remember anything else about this movie.
Splash.
Yeah.
Oh, I had to remember what that was called then. That was you nearly had me properly stumped. I was like, I know what that film is. I know what that is. Don't say Flipper. You're an idiot.
I had to say Tom Hanks in case you thought it was Little Mermaid.
Of course.
I remember hearing something recently about Splash, and it might have something to do with Disney. They may have had to have censored something in it. Maybe they swear, or maybe I think she's naked when she walks out of the water, but she's got really long hair. It'd be hiding everything.
So I'm going to ask you a question. I don't know if I've asked you this before, but I've asked people this before, normally not on microphone. This is an off-mic conversation topic.
I'm excited.
So listeners, apologies to your delicate ears if this offends you, but I have had several debates and it's something I'm genuinely interested in. When Ariel changes, mm-hmm. she's traded in her voice to Ursula, mm-hmm. she gains the legs. Mm. Does she grow a vagina or does she continue to have a cloaca like fish, birds, things like
Oh, that's a good question.
Do her organs split and provide alternate openings, or is it a one stop shop like fish have?
Okay, so I'm thinking right. So she's got, in order to have legs, she needs a bottom, right?
Yes.
So I would imagine that the transformation happens from pelvic, top of the pelvic bone down. So she would have all the lady parts.
That's what I figure. But like, is it just one large opened zipper, if you will? Do you know what I mean? Like this, we could do a whole separate show about this just to give you an idea. I have spoken at length about this topic with several people because I find the idea of a cloaca fascinating, that everything would operate out of, like that is efficiency in
nature. I was going to say it's quite efficient.
It's way more efficient than what we're rocking.
Yeah, that's true.
Cleans. Sanitizers, sterilizes, everything. Mermaids would have them because of the nature of body shape and this. But anyway, there's your homework. Kids, go home and have a think. Have a good chat. Ask your mum and dad.
Well, I was going to say, if you do want to give us an answer at any point, you can send it to us.
In fact, I'm throwing out an open challenge now.
Okay.
I want to see a picture. Someone want to draw me a picture of what this could look like.
Yep.
Viv, I know you're listening. You're at home. Draw us a picture. Gary, send us a diagram. Come on, friends. There's a few of you that I believe that if I call on now,
they will rise be sending to this challenge. It. All right. So in that respect, then you probably should just send it via email.
Yeah, send it via email. If we like it, we might even get in contact with you and you can come and discuss your point of view with us. We'll have a bit of a short round table. Maybe there's a 10-minute minisode in this.
It could be.
Bust it wide open.
It could be.
By Ariel's legs.
thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com. On that note, I don't think there's anywhere else to go.
Blah, 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 blah. I don't think so, no.
Tom, thank you very much.